Okay. Well, let's pray then. Father, we do just thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the healings that we have seen in this class and recoveries and just your presence regardless. And we certainly just we pray for little Abby and for her just peace and her comfort as she's being treated, and just for the family as they handle those logistics, and for Phil and Lisa as they just try to figure out how to help. And Lord, we have so many other things. Lord, our guys down in Peru, we would pray for their strength and their protection and all the things that they need to do. Lord, just multiply their efforts to that group, Lord, who needs help in so many ways. Lord, thank you for our guys, their willingness to do it. Take that time and the expense, the effort. And we just pray for you to just be glorified through all that work and bring them safely home to us, Father. And just be with Brad as he preaches, and that souls would be affected for you, that people would be encouraged, people would come to Christ and feel the love of you and your gospel. Lord, thank you for our class. Thank you for this group, the particular people you've brought here today. And I pray that we encourage each other, Lord, that we're encouraged by just being together, encouraged by your word. Pray that you would be with me as I teach your word, and that it would be your spirit operating in and through your word, through me, through the listeners, that we just that all that comes together to affect our hearts and our minds for you. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Not prepared for the logistics of oh, let's do this. All right. So yeah, I'm gonna be teaching today. I was gonna be in Peru, could not make that trip. And but let me I'm always looking for excuses to tell grandkid stories. Did I tell y'all I have grandkids? Y'all hadn't heard that. So little boys, 5 and 2, live out in Austin. My daughter Katie and husband John. And so this year, their grandmom, Juju Studi, has been keeping them entertained because we've been doing renovations at home and lots of stuff, kitchen, bathrooms. And so there have been trucks coming in and doing things and construction guys doing demo. And so Judy will, or Juju will, video it and send that to them or FaceTime with them. Or when we were visiting, she's showing them videos and they're just riveted. They're little guys who just love construction. And so Judy knows about all that stuff. She tells them what they're doing. I have no idea. So they love that. Okay. Flash forward a couple of weeks ago, Ben, age 5, was going to school, his little school. And it was play day and it was at their gym. And so he loves that. He loves all the physical stuff. And so, Katie said, well, you know, Juju used to be a PE teacher, which is true, used to be a gym teacher. And Ben goes, she was a gym teacher and a construction worker. So we've loved that. So a friend of mine did this construction hat that says Juju. Oh, and that was Don Hendry. So yeah, all of that, just a cheesy reason to tell a grandkid story to say, this is such a bad segue, terrible segue to say we're going to build our own Sunday school lesson today. So just like, and anybody who joins in will have to wear the hat while they're speaking. No, that's not true. So what we're going to do is from Psalm 34, starting next week, I think, depending on how much I get done today, we're going to do, Tim and I are co-teaching this quarter. And I'm going to be teaching on the stand firm passages in the New Testament. James, Peter, Paul has several. And I just feel like it is a time in our culture and in our lives that standing firm means something different. Every culture and generation has it, but it means something different for us. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. So that's what we're going to be doing. But this morning I have been drawn recently to Psalm 34. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to read Psalm 34. How many of y'all have the ESV? It's kind of mostly ESV. I printed it out by ESV. I'm going to read it. And what I would like for you to do is while I'm reading it, if you would be listening for promises, essentially promises in there, what David says about what God does for his people. Okay. So be listening to that. So I'm going to get even on this tiny little whiteboard, I'm going to get y'all to tell me different things that you're hearing that David says that God promises for what God does for his people. So Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So, y'all will tell me what you are hearing. How to do this? Can you hear me? Yeah.
I will tell you.
You what?
So I will tell you if I don't.
Oh, wear the hat. You would look great in the hat. It fit you well. All right. So this is essentially, I'm going to call them promises. Things that God has said in Psalm 34 that he's going to do for his people. This is weird. I was not ready for the technology of this. Okay. Yes, Barbara. Okay. All right, so I know a lot of y'all aren't going to be able to see this, but answer, delivered. Okay, thanks. Others, you see? Makes us glad.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What?
Makes radiant.
Yeah, love that one. Radiant and unashamed.
Saves us.
Okay, deliver, saves, troubles. Okay.
Well, there's somebody.
Okay. Hears on high.
Hears. Yeah, I love that. Answers and hears.
If somebody raised a hand over here. Susan?
What encourages me, so, is that talking about righteousness.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, Romans 5:1, that we have the righteousness of Christ. I do the same thing in the Psalms. There's a ton of promises that are for the righteous, and you go, well, that's not me, but it is now completely us in Christ. So great point. What else? Yes, Anita. Okay, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Meets needs.
Yeah,
since there's no lack.
Yeah, I'll jump. Yeah. It condemns, is that, say, the unrighteous, or condemns the evil, yeah.
Which
is to his glory.
He teaches the fear of the Lord.
Teaches. Okay. Yeah, I love it. Particularly near the broken heart and afflicted.
No, who sees and hears, you look at first two things. Don't see and hear.
And the lack of that in the meets our needs.
Although this whiteboard is doing anything for us, it helps me to think and write them out and hear. Anything else, just that we, yeah, I mean, that's a lot. Thank y'all. So as I was going, yeah, Jim. Yeah.
Yep.
You were watching him walk around and he prays something. You expect the Lord to answer.
Yeah.
And that's the life there.
Wow. Yeah.
It's easy to think that you could answer him.
Yeah.
But that's why I answer.
That's a great point. That is the righteousness we have. That is when he looks at us, he sees Christ. Keep that in mind, because that factors into this whole thing about exactly what he does for us. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about, yeah, there is, yeah, the cans. And, but yeah.
Yeah, that is comforting.
Yeah, no condemnation for us. And in the middle of this, we know he condemns the wicked.
We're outside of Christ.
all think of sovereignty.
Right. Well, yes. Yeah, that, and that's really in the end the ultimate comfort for us. Well, and the fact that if he's sovereign and he has this kind of character of love for his people, for the righteous. So
did you get 30? It's 30 for 30.
30 for 30. Good memory. That's such a good memory. We could probably make that into 30, but I tried to boil this down into three. I just put different, like, and you could categorize them in really any way, but I put it under his care. His care and like attentiveness, which is a great thing to me to hear these, that he will hear our cry. And I heard someone talking about like his posture toward us is listening. You know, it's listening. He wants to hear. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. So literally Peter either quoting or just remembering the Psalms, but so his care, that's the answering, hearing, the fact that he's near, it's kind of a personal caring. What are some others that might fit in that? His care meets our needs. Yeah. So those are the kind of things as we sit. This is just to sit and think about how he loves us. These are all kind of, I mean, they are connected, but the second one is he protects. So he cares, and then he protects. I mean, the delivers, saves, encamps, oversees. So we can count on his protection. Now that is a thing we can kind of debate because it says in here he watches over his people and their bones aren't broken. Well, how many people in here have broken bones? So you read some of those things and go, what does that mean? But if he loves us like Christ, if we're in Christ, well, look what Christ experienced. But ultimately, there's the thing. I mean, ultimate protection that he's made, ultimate carry, ultimate relationship, ultimate bodies that won't break. So it all fits together. And I have this one to say he provides, so his provision. So people were saying he meets needs and he blesses. Provision, making glad and radiant and unashamed. It's an interesting thing that he makes glad and radiant. It's like, maybe someone, David, maybe dealing with shame or grief, but he makes unashamed. He provides redemption and all that we need. All right, so we've got that. So hold that thought. Yeah. 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 Wow. Yeah. So I don't know if could y'all hear that such a great point, Bill, the counselor, but yeah, thanks. Thank you, Fana. that's such a great point, and it fits this whole tone of this is that many people are so blessed by Psalm 34 if they're brokenhearted. And by if, I mean, we're all brokenhearted at some point to some extreme degree. So I do, I love it. And that's, I think, one reason that I've been drawn to it over my life. So thank you for that. And we'll talk more kind of about how that happens, because I'm not going to read it again, but look back through it and give me now what David says about, what God's people do. Like, what, how do we respond? How do, what do we do in our relationship with God? So this would be activities or actions, that Psalm 34 say about what God's people do. So what? With somebody? We bless him.
Okay. I'm going to call this just for, it's an alliteration or whatever it is, the path. It's the path to the promises. So we bless.
And praise.
We pray. Oh, yes, at all times. Okay. Seek. Okay, we seek. Rejoice and then boast. Rejoice, boast. Okay. See. Okay, taste. Here. Okay. Fear, as much as fear, yeah. Trust.
Bless.
Bless. Take refuge, okay.
Pride.
Yep. Oh, exalt. Yeah, maybe not too. Hurt? Oh, well, then you can't do it. That just sounds like it's in here, doesn't it? With this whole thing. I mean, it talks of. Okay. All right, so sorry, Zoom folks. Where we have landed, the path of the promises in Psalm 34 are bless, exalt, praise, boast. You're making me read my own writing. Rejoice, seek humbly, magnify, listen, taste, serve, be glad, fear, trust. Take refuge, depart from evil, cry. And we were talking about hurting, which is certainly, I think it may be the NIV that in verse 2 says, let the afflicted. Is anybody looking at NIV?
I think it says many of the afflictions.
Many of the afflictions. Yeah, okay. Okay, so I think it was NIV that said, which is interesting, let the afflicted hear and be glad, but it may all fit into what Bill was talking about, that the fact that this particular psalm draws people who are hurting. So that's just an interesting thing. Like it is so comforting, so many things in there about how he delivers us, so many comforting things. And then you look at our response, not necessarily that we're earning all of those things, but this is our response in the relational dynamic that we have with the Lord. So I'm trying to categorize these, which is, they're all together, but
I really felt like this is the way of our faith, that it all, you know, Matthew 12, out of the heart proceeds, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you hit a lot of speech things later, but it's a condition of the heart is so much what this talks about with, I mean, to me, seeking is a heart posture towards the Lord. We are seekers by nature. We get up seeking something. When we wake up, we're usually, our mind is like seeking. You know, what do I want today? What do I want? Big picture. To fear God. I think that is a posture and a relationship with God that is a, it's just a posture of our heart, taking refuge. So, like heart inclinations, heart posture, and then out of that comes, so it's like, you know, 1A would be speech. So much about this has to do with our speech. And then 1B, I put the actions. But let's talk about that a little bit. So the speech, the ones that are about our tongue. Yeah, praise all the time, as someone pointed out. My soul boasts in the Lord. Magnifying the Lord. And I like that, I think it's in verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So there has a community element to it, which so fits our group. And that's true in several, where it talks about, I will teach. Let's see where, verse 11, come children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Again, that's in a communal community setting. So what, I think I'm wrapped up in this. I'm going to need the construction hat up here when I fall. Stop laughing, Jim. Yeah, this is.
That was the best part.
Yeah. I hope they saw that on Zoom. So my goal this morning, it's probably not clear what my goal is at this point, but is to have us magnify the Lord together, like to see these things. Who in here does not feel the need for deliverance for themselves or for others? John Eldridge said in one of his talks, if you can't see these things for yourself, think about if your loved one could be delivered from this, from the thing that most tortures them, one of your loved ones that you worry about, if they could be delivered from that. This is the kind of thing that we want for us and for our loved ones. So many promises about that in Psalm 34. And then there's a pathway though. It comes with our interaction. It's connected to it. So I'll tell you why that hit me. Was recently, I've been going through, like everybody's got things, something that's concerning me. It's health related for me. It's going to be fine. But when you get struck with something like that, it changes your perspective. And I'm a person with anxiety. Like I worry when nothing's going on. You cannot give me something to actually worry about. So, the word catastrophizing, it's a word, I guess, used in counseling, and it's certainly it's descriptive what it is, but it's when you are in a situation and you immediately catastrophize, take the worst possible thing, and it is going to happen. It's going to happen fast. If you've got that kind of nature, and I do, so getting involved with that
and was very drawn to Psalm 34 for the deliverance passages and for this whole idea of when he says, when David says, he delivers me from my fear. And he doesn't necessarily say delivering me from the thing I'm afraid of, but from the fear itself, which is a big deal. Like the fear is such a plague to be enduring. And so that's what drew me to the song. And I was really dealing with that. And then, but I was spiraling in this concern and worry. Fortunately, Judy is a construction worker and a counselor and a PE teacher. She does it all. She's amazing. Y'all know that. But we had a really good talk, and she prayed for me in a moment. And I would just say that opened my eyes to the next hour. I read Psalm 34, and I was so struck by the first part of it, the first verses, because it's all about, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. All of those things happen. There's no deliverance yet. And so I thought, what is on my lips continually? Well, it's the worry. That's what's on my lips. And if not on my lips, in my, what my daughter calls the doom loop, she calls it the doom loop, gets in my head. And I go, well, if that's wrong, then that's probably wrong. And so it struck me that that was continually, and this is a lifetime thing with different, you know, different times, but it's easy for me to have that continually on my lips and my heart and my mind. And so I just was struck that what David says is magnify the Lord, very simply extol the Lord, praise the Lord. And so I started doing that and just, talking to people about God's goodness. Even in a doctor setting, we had a technician come in and said, I'm praying for y'all. And it just immediately drew us to talk about God's goodness to her. And we were in the hospital with my mom, and mom, of course, is talking to everyone about the Lord. She's like, I told y'all, she's wheeling her down for a procedure, and she's, I'm just so happy that God is sovereign. And she can't hear, so she's yelling. And what'd you say? So that's what that's what got me thinking about this whole thing, and just pulling the points out that we land in this place of seeing, okay, the taste and see that God is good. If there is a hidden sin, not to those around me, but probably hidden to me, is that I do not taste and see that God is good. Like, God is so good to me, not just salvation and the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, all those things, but fantastic family, just all the things that he has done. But for some reason, I fixate on, yeah, but I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to lose it. I don't know if this is resonating with anyone in here. This is just that weird confessional moment. Carter's like, yeah, just yeah. So I thought, you know, there's a verse, it may be used in a different context, but about despising the goodness of the Lord. And I thought, okay, that's sad to do that, to despise the goodness of the Lord. And I certainly wouldn't say despise, but underestimate and ingratitude would be a way. So taste and see that the Lord is good. So maybe this is my way of proclaiming to this group who's experienced and helped me experience the goodness of the Lord to magnify him together with this group. And so with that, any, Any other thoughts about, I really didn't get to get into like these heart postures of fearing God and taking refuge in him, which is like a posture. So, Jane, let me get you, and then I'll go to Steve. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those who look to him, that's definitely a posture of, is we're going to be looking at something and looking for something. So thank you, Steve. Oh, yeah. 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 Wow. Fantastic. So look to Christ in these afflictions, because he ultimately takes on the afflictions and gives us the righteousness and redemption and no condemnation. Thank you. So yes, Andy, and then.
I was just going to say, my brother-in-law, Billy Barnes, he was at the church and the school where the shooting happened in Nashville. One day we were just sitting and talking afterwards, and he said, it is like now people are beginning to share miracle stories of how God had miraculously protected some of them. Incredible stories, like this one little boy, his class had been on the playground when the shooter walked right past that playground with all those children on it. And the little boy told his mom, well, she didn't see it because of the dome that was over the playground. And I mean, there were all these miracle stories, but people were hesitant to share those stories.
Oh, yeah.
Because God had not miraculously protected everybody.
Yeah.
And so the tension there.
Yeah.
And so sometimes maybe it's hard for us to rejoice in his protection, because we know he doesn't choose always.
Yeah, very practical point. You're right. No, that's true. That goes to the sovereignty that Andy's talking about. You have to rest in that, but still magnify, still say the stories. That's a great point. Yeah.
I mean, his office assistant had hidden in a cabinet. There were three cabinets. The shooter opened to it, and then one shooter. God, and I mean, he did so many precious things, but people were hesitant to share.
Right. Well, I'm glad they're beginning to. And yeah. God's goodness is sweet, amazing, and personal. So, Andy, did you have something? I'll go back over.
You know, John, when you face ruminations or catastrophizing, you can have contingency plans for the worst thing.
Right.
Those guys always want to fix stuff. It causes stress. Say you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you have in and out of sleep and you're worrying about something. This is kind of a roadmap. You know, it's like, if this happened, oh, well, if that happened, and you start worrying. This is the roadmap to say, okay, this is God's plan down on the board down there. God answers, he delivers, refuge, he's near us. So the Bible talks about taking every thought obedient to Christ. Taking each thought obedient to Christ. This is, you say to yourself, it's like, no, I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will rejoice in my salvation. I will seek him. I trust him that it answers. No matter what it is, I will serve him. I fear the Lord, but I trust him. I'll take refuge.
Amen. So
start to have an active conversation.
Amen.
Yeah, kind of like talk yourself off the ledge.
Well, that's so practical. If nothing else, if you're doing that, you literally at that point can't be catastrophizing, because you can only say one thing at a time.
Wayne Herring. Wayne Herring, a good friend.
He
had this book, big notebook with this kind of life story and all.
Right.
And he let me borrow that for a couple weeks for a Bible study. And Wade's thing was, his thing, writing down his blessings, memory of them. But also, you know, his point was like, look, you know, he goes, if you're in a difficult situation, start counting your blessings. Then something will come, you know, like,
yeah.
You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with something. Start naming all the things. Lord, help give me a wonderful life. Lord,
yeah.
Lord, one church. Well, eventually come around to the Lord. What have you
done? Yeah, nothing. No lack. That is exactly right. And I thank God for the discovery class. That's a huge blessing in our life. So, Mr. Crawford, is that?
We're in the spirit, you and I, make it last. The bookstore, there's a great little book about burying content. There were several copies that dropped off my list.
That sounds like I do.
$11.
Yeah, I got you. Thank you, Charlie.
Yes, and there are many things that you have had for years and will have for years to carry on for life. And it's very good. Lamentations 3 speaks to it. If you go to the Westminster Confession, where it talks about the Lord provides us his bread and bread. It's everything, no matter what it is, it's under the control of God, works to our good. And if we look, first thing, the dialogue, whether it's day by day or some moment in your life, and go, God is here, he is my provision. As the Lamentation says, he is my portion. This is part of the plate which I've been served for my life, and it's working good. So the hope comes from knowing that the Lord is our portion, and our faith is in the Lord, not in our faith, in our faith, but
yeah.
Our circumstances.
That's a great way of saying taking refuge in God to me. Yes. That's a great way of saying that heart posture. Others, Don?
I was thinking there's another way other than getting it, what you call it?
Doom loop.
I've got an opposite of that. And it's just as bad is that I just think everything's going to work out with and ignore it with that stuff that will do. And just go with life and drift down
right.
The stream. And either one's wrong if we don't do those things up there. It's
yeah.
Bringing God into it and remembering God and not either way. We can either focus on our fears or we can ignore our fears. And if I ignore my fear and think everything's going to be okay without realizing only because of God will it be okay.
Yeah.
Because he loves me and cares for me and is going to surround me.
Yeah.
Then I'm just not accepting reality.
That's a great point.
And neither one's wrong.
That's a great, and if you're that guy who's in the positive loop, you probably miss some of this being driven to the need for some of these things. I mean, I don't know. I've never been there, but, but it's
there's a sign of God. It's
right.
Things will work.
Yeah. Great point.
That's not the faith.
Yeah. Now, thank you for that. That's really that's right. He's winning. Well, it's true. Yeah. Someone has labeled me Eeyore and Don Henry Winnie the Pooh. So Piglet's a warrior. So you're more fun to be around though. All right. I guess we need to wrap it up. Any last things? And thank y'all for the participation. That would have been really terrible to just have a blank there.
But it's just realizing when you're in the good
yeah.
Even if it's a simple thing like my ship, just be
over
and over.
Yeah. That's a great practical point. I found that to be true. Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to share. And it's always, I just understand that this is why you have community, because we can experience growth listening to other people talk about the good and bad things that they deal with. And it points back to you, because your Holy Spirit is here and we are building all of this around the Word of God. And so it comes back to you, glorifies you, which we want to do. We are thankful that we're not sitting here trying to create our own hope, but we have it given by you and your Holy Spirit, just in a million ways. Thank you for that. Bless you, praise you, and thank you for our time together. In Christ's name, amen.